Is that the Pink Panther thing?
It's Push the Button Max from The Great Race. Which is a phenomenal movie. Fucking Great Race. With Professor Face. Because I'm going to push the button.
Is that what they're referencing on Mystery Science Theater?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Push the Button, Max. It is a great movie. If you have not seen it.
I haven't.
It's Peter Falk and Jack Lemmon, and it's really cool.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
We are live.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to Crippled System episode, insert number here.
209.
209.
Wait, is it 209?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's 209.
Hey, guess what?
What?
The text on the podcast is 208.
Okay, you should update
that. They're
going
to see it live changing to 209 if they're watching the video cast.
Now.
Did
I point at it?
You were late. I already changed it.
There?
No, that's the E.
This is a real look behind the curtain.
There. That's the 9.
Right here is where it says 209 now, and before it said 208.
Yeah.
I cannot see that screen right now, so it's especially
don't say
hilarious
Nazi.
Just imagining.
Yeah, don't say Nazi. Come on, jeez.
Both sides are wrong.
You're going to get us taken.
Oh, boy.
We're going to get content strikes.
Many sides, man. Many
immediately.
Sides.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's the people who are Nazis, and then there's the people who aren't fucking Nazis.
They're not like zombies, right?
Yeah, Nazi versus zombie.
Nazis. So sometimes not they call
Z's.
Them Z's.
Z's, yeah, and Z
so,
Nation.
So a person that is alive would be a not Z.
So that's the bleak, like the world of Z Nation is everybody's either zombies or Nazis.
Correct.
Wow. They really call them Z's and Z Nation? Was zombies too much to save?
No, in order to have in this world of so many different zombie films and shows and that, you have to break yourself away from there. So The Walking Dead,
they don't call them zombies either.
They call them walkers.
Zombie
The Fear of the Walking Dead call them something else, and I don't know what, because that show was...
Sucks. It's terrible.
The first two seasons were pretty horrible.
How many
third
seasons
season,
are there?
Third season is actually not too bad. I think they're in the middle of the third season.
Okay.
Did you watch the first season?
I watched the pilot, turned it off, and then went to go do something else because it was awful.
Well, there's one character that's in the first season that's awesome, and they kill him like about the first quarter of the second season.
Yeah,
and then you're like, "Fuck this!" Now this show really sucks.
Yeah,
and they brought him back
as a zombie, or
nope. Just they brought that character back, and that character has such a really awesome back history to him.
Okay,
it's Daniel.
Was he like just hiding underneath the trash can the whole time or something?
No, he was the barber that was in the first, maybe in the first season. Okay. I don't know if it was in the first episode.
None of it was memorable, and it took forever, so I literally don't recall anything about that.
It's only six episodes per season.
You can get
through it in an afternoon.
Like 2 hours.
No, it was only an hour.
It felt like 2 hours.
Yeah, probably. Welcome to Crippled System, episode 209. We already said that. My name is Andy. I play Kator.
It's divisible by 11 and 19.
Okay.
I'm Nathan, and I don't right now I don't play War Machine, but it's a great game. Stop messaging me, ask me why I stopped playing War Machine. It's because I suck. You should play War Machine. It's a great game.
Play War Machine. Peer pressure. Peer pressure.
My name is Jake. I am currently playing Signar, and in 2 weeks I'm gonna start playing Grimkin and Trolls intermittently. Thank you.
I'm Dave, and I'm playing Retribution at the moment.
Yay!
Like everybody, apparently.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, that's why I stopped playing Retribution, because there was 9 Retribution players at the local store today.
It was 6.
Yeah.
We had 6 full-time
You don't need
players.
To correct me. I was just exaggerating. I wasn't exaggerating that much.
That's exactly why.
Hyperbole.
Yes.
Hyperbole.
Yeah.
Hyperbole.
Speaking of that, we do know exactly how many people are playing Retribution at the Wisconsin Team Championship.
We do, but we're not going to tell anybody yet. Yeah. We're going to publish the list live. If anybody is in chat, they'll be first to know. People watching us live can follow along and see all the data. I don't know.
Oh, hey.
You're the one fucking, oh, yay, there's people there in the thing. Red Wolf wants me to. I will publish the list, but first I have to mention for anybody who missed it is that Andy has once again accelerated the pain train videos. There was kind of a while where there aren't any movie pain trains. There's been a slight change in the format. It's no longer Watch Bad Movies. The new title of the series is Andy Watches Movies He Loves With His Friends.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Pretty much it.
You haven't seen Ice Pirates? And then he watches Ice Pirates.
That's pretty much what happened.
I know that's what happened.
We need it. We should go on for a snatch now.
Also, Travis, you don't count.
Yeah. So yeah. Jeff came over Saturday to watch Last Action Hero.
There's a good movies with Mikey on Last Action Hero.
Yep. So I purchased Last Action Hero off of Amazon. I ended up getting it for cheaper than what it would cost me to rent it. So, but then I got the Blu-ray, put it in. The sound quality on the Blu-ray was so bad, I still ended up streaming it. It was really, really bad. But Jeff really liked that movie, and then as we were going through all the other movies that I have, he was like, "What?" I'm like, "Have you seen Ice Pirates?" He's like, "No."
Nobody's seen Ice Pirates, Andy.
And then I'm like, "Well, have you seen Dead Heat?" I've seen Ice
Pirates. Nobody that matters.
It was like, "Have you seen Dead Heat?"
And I'm including like 75% of his table has seen Ice Pirates.
I have not seen Ice Pirates.
What?
Why are you guys surprised by this?
We're not surprised at all. You've never heard of Ice Pirates? We could make up any plot line and stars we wanted to.
Like I could tell you that there's a castration conveyor belt in the movie, and mm-hmm. you have no idea if that's true or not.
I have to imagine that it isn't or is. It's one of those two.
All right, we're going to watch the movie.
Yeah, let's see. It they're on a conveyor belt, and there's like giant chomping teeth. Like, it's not even blades. It has like cartoon teeth that go chomp, chomp, chomp that's going to bite off their balls. Mm-hmm. I'm going with that as my description of the castration conveyor belt.
I got to watch this movie now.
True or false, Jake? What do you think?
True.
It is true.
Okay.
There is. So in this, there's a car chase sequence where there's guys on motorcycles. A guy on motorcycle runs over a baby robot. There's three robots. There's a baby robot, and then a
mommy and daddy
robot, and a mommy robot. Baby robot gets run over, and immediately mama robot gets run over, and then the middle robot is going, "Mommy, baby, mommy, baby."
True or false?
False.
No, this is all true. That's very true. Pirates is the greatest show.
So again, there's another incident, too, is... where an exact quote from the film is the ship's got herpes.
Their ship has herpes. Space herpes.
True.
Yes.
Okay. Everything's true. Yes. Yeah, I was going to say I predict Dead Heat as the next movie pain train, because that's another treasured Andy film.
What are you talking about?
It's great. Movie. It stars the guy from House.
Which one?
His buddy, the oncologist, is in it.
Treat Williams? Is it? Wait, no. I don't know what you're talking about.
The Watson to his Holmes on House, that guy.
The whole time we watched Dead Heat, I was pointing out the fact that that guy looked exactly like House's buddy from House.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have to watch it again so I can annoy you again? Because were really annoyed.
Well, I tried to block it out. I mean, it is Dead Heat. Goddamn, that film is great. Dead
Heat. They fight a zombie side of beef.
Yeah.
They're in a butcher shop and just a side of beef comes to life and attacks him.
Yep. There's also ducks. Ducks that are alive, too.
I feel like the 80s had this wonderful cross-section of insane films that came out that we just don't get now.
Mm. An obscure family favorite that up there with Ice Pirates and whatnot was Morons from Outer Space. We loved that movie.
So were these all canon films?
No. These were...
Ice Pirates is MGM.
MGM? Oh, yep. Wow. Because this seems like all that the sort of weirdness that would come out of canon.
The scary 80s. Part about Ice Pirates... is the budget for it. They must have had actually a ridiculously large budget for it. It was more than what the movie deserved. Somebody read the script.
How dare you, sir?
was the budget $7.5 million or something?
I don't know, but it was just really well done. Oh, wow. I mean, all the sets were real done. Costumes were real done. The script just didn't live up to what the budget was, which is weird.
And sometimes a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Waterworld bad, as in the budget was out of insane in there. Ice Pirates has got, they call it a parody, but it's not really parodying anything other than space adventure.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is a fine, so it is what it is, right? It's Galaxy Quest is not a straight parody of anything. I guess you could say it's got the Star Trek.
It's really a Star Trek.
It's
still
a serious Star Trek.
It is not a Star Trek parody.
It is a Star Trek parody.
It's not a Star Trek parody.
Yeah, it is.
It's real close.
Show that was on for a period of time, got canceled, and is being brought back as a...
That doesn't make it a parody.
I mean, it is a
they're
loving
not it's sharing
parody.
The likeness of, but it's it, and the goofy adventures of
none of its jokes come at the expense of Star Trek. They don't, you know, they it's not a parody. Like, that's like saying Three Amigos is a parody of Westerns. It's not. It just is a Western.
So is that like, I guess it makes fun of the tropes of those type of, yeah. of that genre of those genres, especially Three Amigos does right. make fun of the
and so Ice Pirates makes genres. Fun of the tropes of the space adventure things. It just it's not to me to be a parody. You have to be more specific send ups and whatnot.
I don't see it making fun of the of any other type of thing other than like ship getting herpes and that it's not I don't really see it making fun of things.
Maybe. I mean, whatever. I mean, that's like arguing about what ironic means, right? Is it ironic to have rain on your wedding date?
Don't you
no.
think?
Unless you're a weatherman and said it was going to be sunny.
No, of course.
No, then you're just wrong.
Yeah, it should be wrong. It would be
ironic. Of course,
having
a song called Isn't It Ironic that doesn't actually contain any irony is ironic?
No, it's just inaccurate.
But it's ironic because it's supposed to do something and it does exactly the opposite, which is literary irony. So the song itself is ironic.
Just doing the opposite of what you're supposed to is irony. So it's like, is my dishwasher ironic if it doesn't clean dishes?
I mean, if you set it up to do so. if you set your dishwasher up to wash dishes and it just dirties them, then yes, it is ironic, but it's not worth talking about.
I don't know. That's not. I think it's just a bad dishwasher.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's ironic. Here's a funny story about ironic. I don't think I've told this story. Have I told this story? I don't think I've told this story.
Well, you know what? We have somebody with a very short memory.
The aforementioned trip to Europe in October of 2001 when I went full retard to not get shot by Italian police in the airport.
What?
Like two or three. Two,
oh, my God. What? What happened?
You know, I'm not going to tell you. This is your punishment for not listening to our podcast. I told the story in detail like three episodes ago.
But I know you. So, like, I'm not going to, like, I don't listen to Views on Minis anymore because I live, like, a block away from Keith. I'm not going to, like, I just see you guys every day.
So, anyway, my dad, my brother, and I were visiting my uncle, who is a priest who lives in Germany. He's actually mm-hmm. a German citizen now because he's been there so long. He's to the point where he actually thinks in German instead of English because of how gone native he is. So we drove up to Amsterdam, and you know we visited the Anne Frank Museum. We visited the Van Gogh Museum because that's how those fucking Europeans pronounce Van Gogh. And we went to the red light district. It was fun. We didn't, you know, buy anything, but it was fun to window shop. my uncle used the phrase because he was amazed at the variety.
Did you see the flying dildo show?
I did not see a flying dildo show, but he was amazed at the variety. Like there's all shape, sizes, and colors in there. And he said, "Well, I guess one man's owl is another man's nightingale," which I thought was a beautiful way to describe an ugly woman. But so then on the whole car ride home, we got into an argument. Well, first of all, so. We see Ass Man's handy like hardware store, and we're laughing at the fact that this guy's name is Ass Man. Yeah. Okay, and we're laughing, and George is like, you know, that's not funny. His name is Osman. I mean, it's just his name. I don't see what's funny. And so Adam's like, what if his name was in whatever German for butt man? And he's like, that would be funny. But anyway, so the whole trip home, we are arguing about what is and isn't ironic. This whole fucking thing, this conversation for like 4 hours back to his house, we're arguing, and George is just silent driving the car while the three of us are being full-on Hoffman obnoxious to each other. Like, I'm the least obnoxious of the three people that were in that car arguing about irony.
Wow.
So we get back to his house without saying a word. He storms in. He goes to his bookshelf. He pulls down a dictionary. He opens it up, and he flips and he says, an event happening contrary to what is expected or determined to be likely. That's irony. And we pause and we look and they're like, well, I think that supports my definition. We start arguing again and she says, why don't you look up obnoxious? Threw the dictionary at us and then stormed to his bedroom and went to sleep. It's the proudest moment we've had as a family.
I really want to know this. I'm going to have to listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to. No.
I was picked up at the Tucson airport on suspicion of smuggling drugs from Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. To be fair, anytime I see you, I assume you're smuggling drugs from Mexico.
I mean, I have never been to Mexico in my life.
That's what somebody smuggling drugs from Mexico would say.
Yes.
Yeah. You coming back from Mexico? No.
All right. Well,
that's our announcements.
Yeah. Announcements. This coming Saturday is going to be an event in Madison, I believe. Isn't Rick running one concurrent with Gen Con for those
Rick
of us who couldn't afford to go there?
A Champions event on Saturday. Good thing that Rick has always contacted me ahead of time to get all the supplies needed for running said event. He has it.
He hasn't even contacted
no.
you.
No.
Classic Rick.
Yep. No, the best part is, though, is I'm leaving Wednesday morning to go to Indianapolis.
Ooh, so, he's SOL.
So I'll have to leave.
That's okay. No one will be there anyway.
No, actually, I think they'll...
There'll be people there.
I'm cautiously optimistic. They already sold out of VIG badges over at for War Machine Weekend.
Really?
Yep. And so I'm very curious to see how much more is going to sell for War Machine Weekend. I feel like there's going to be probably a lot more people there than probably last year.
I'm trying to decide if it would be wrong to bring Mega Civilization to War Machine Weekend.
No, that's fine. All right.
Think I can get a full 18-person team game going?
Probably.
Probably not.
How much alcohol is involved?
Huh?
How much alcohol is involved?
Hopefully zero. Oh. A game is made of cardboard and cost me $300. So...
I'll have tape on the floor around it, and it's like no liquids past this
Well,
point.
You know what? I can just do the Brian Giese thing, which is if you spill a liquid on one of his games, you just bought that game. Right? And so if somebody wants to buy me another copy of Mega Civ, they can drink beer all around it.
Yeah, I had that happen to me with my Warhammer Quest.
Yeah?
Yeah, a friend of mine spilled some beer all over the tiles, which we were able to clean it, but it still invoked the no drinking on game table day ever. Oh, yay.
So that's the only announcement. The WITC is next Saturday.
Yes, it
Gen
is.
Con. And we will
Gen Con. Yeah, whatever. Gen Con. Gen Con's this
I'm gonna
week.
I'm going to be at Gen
Are
Con.
Are you going to be doing anything at Gen Con?
First day, I'm going to be... My schedule for Gen Con is very light. First day on Thursday, I'm going to be going to the Greater Than Games release event. I got a ticket somehow. I don't know what it was, but it's the folks that make Sentinels of the Multiverse. So I'm going to be going to that thing Saturday. I'm going to try to learn how to play Guild Ball from Ben Lang, maybe, or Friday.
I'm waiting for him to push the button.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Sidebar over there.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to have sidebars on the podcast. We're talking.
That's why I didn't do it on mic.
You should be listening and participating.
It picks up very good.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
So sorry.
Yeah.
So rude.
You are rude.
Hey, spoiler, Jake doesn't give two shits about you or anything you're doing at Gen Con.
Well, I'm just going to return his money then.
Ooh. Okay.
Are you really?
What? Were you ninja shopping?
Yeah, Grimkin? I was going
to
ninja shop.
Oh, he's going to get the ninja, not the ninja.
I think I'm going to start Grimkin now.
Yeah.
That, that Jake lost his ninja shopper. That sounds like a perfect opportunity to get into
If that thing Outpost 31 game is at Gen Con, someone should buy that for me.
Which
I don't think
is
it'll
that
be there.
The thing
not who game? Goes there.
It's another thing.
Who goes there is the Kickstarter that just ended. Mm-hmm. There's one that's just based straight on the movie, The Thing, called The Thing Encounter at Outpost 31. It's something at Outpost, like, you know, disaster at Outpost 31. There's some noun in there.
Sure.
At
sure.
Outpost 31. I could pull up what it's called on this supercomputer in my hand, but that's effort. And look, I'm hovering over the published list thing, Jake. Aren't you excited?
I am excited.
It's a topic you care about because it's not a friend's life.
I care about Andy's life. I just don't know anything about Sentinels of the
Mind. Oh, I just figured it out. I'm not a friend to Jake.
Andy, don't say that, dude. I'm so sorry.
That's probably why you're always saying how much you don't like him.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That explains it. I mean, the hours of rants.
You are wrong. Whoever you are, Valerian is not a great movie.
So Miso 82 has said that Valerian is a great movie.
So when I don't know if we made this clear last time. You don't just respond directly to the chat. You have to read out what the chat says.
He was so
to
angry,
piss
though.
You off.
Yeah, no. Like,
I mean, I understand that it's going against all grains in your body to say Valerian is a great movie because Valerian is a great movie.
You are wrong as well, Andy. Have you seen it?
Zach Becker sent me a link to the trailer for the new television series of Valerian.
Yeah.
Apparently there's an anime series.
Like I can legitimately see an animated series of that being series? Really, really good.
Yeah, if they have enough time for the exposition.
Yeah. I mean, just like... I've read a couple of the comics for it, too, and the comics are amazing. The movie is terrible. If you like the comics, you should hate that movie with every fiber of your being. Hate that movie.
So it's Luc Besson's second best film, third best film.
He also made Femme Nikita, and he made
Leon
the Professional. So it's his fourth best movie.
No, it's his worst movie. Femme Nikita, Leon the Professional, Fifth Element, and Lucy are all better than it.
He made Lucy?
Yes.
Okay.
And Lucy is flawed, and we've been over this almost literally every episode since Lucy came out. But my guess is it's better than Valerian.
I mean, it would pretty much have to be.
Legion has landed, says the Rihanna sequence is pointless. That's impossible. It had Rihanna, and she's bae.
The Rihanna segment was pointless, but it was the closest that film had to actually being like something with energy. The entire film is mostly Dane DeHaan walking around being like, who cares? Also, if you like cool French comics, oh yeah, no, I didn't read the last half of your post. Yeah, read the call. That's good.
My favorite French comic is Asterix and Obelisk.
I don't know that one.
Ah, you don't know Asterix and Obelix?
Wait, what?
Oh my God, they are they're Gaul during the Roman era. You. Oh, it's hilarious.
You don't even know where I need to be in like in
the names are hilarious. Like they're Asterix and Obelisk and all of the characters in their village. Their names end with that suffix.
Yeah.
So my favorite is their pharmacist whose name is Gitafix.
And you have a degree in literature.
I do.
Hilarious.
Most of my literature background is post World War II American literature, looking at anti-intellectualism and right wing extremism. So it's been a killer week.
He just reads Garfield. That's all he does.
Yeah, I just read Garfield. That's right.
Garfield without Garfield.
Boom on days.
Do you watch the Lasagna Cat videos on YouTube?
No, but I do love Garfield without Garfield.
The Lasagna Cat videos are astounding. They're like some amazing Dada-esque insanity that they put way too much effort into. One of my favorites they did recently is they had an open thing where you could send in a message how many sexual partners you'd had, and then they just had this whole like 7-hour video where they just had computer like text to voice read people's answers while they just kind of stood there and listened. But the video was in real time, and so like the clock advanced and the light went on, and it was just insane. And then the thing ends with like horrificness. Like after they get the last answer, a guy goes on a spirit journey in the desert and meets a naked savage man painted red and black like Garfield, and then a teenage girl has an abortion in a bathroom and then says something in French about the universe being pain, and then the credits roll. It's amazing. It's
so
the most surreal
weird.
Dada anti-art. Like if you think Tim and Eric are like, what are those guys doing? This is subverting whatever. Lasagna Cat is insane.
Yeah. So, Miso Miso writes, the Rihanna sequence was both the most pointless sequence in the movie and the most enjoyable to watch. If the most enjoyable part of your movie, and really the only enjoyable part of your movie, is completely pointless, that movie is terrible.
Counterpoint, maybe it was the only point of the movie that was important, and the rest was pointless to that story.
Then that...
You're calling
that a 2-hour journey to get there was the worst thing in the world.
There was a sequence that was in Friday the 13th Part 9... that involved Jason, or not Jason, a bunch of people walking up to a Necronomicon, paging through it for a second, and then leaving it there. So that scene was useless, and that movie was okay. Better than Valerian.
Yeah.
Not saying much.
Not saying much at all. God, I hate that movie.
You know what other movie Rihanna's in that's amazing?
What? Battleship?
Battleship.
Battleship.
Battleship is amazing.
It won me over when the alien weapons actually shot out the red pegs from the game. I'm not even joking,
yeah,
David.
Yeah,
have you seen alien weapons? They shoot and their missiles slam into the ships, and they're no joke, like 10-foot tall versions of the red pegs from the game. And they just slam into the ship and sit there for a second before exploding and destroying the ship entirely.
Yep, the best part.
It's amazing.
There's a sequence of the film. All right, so one ship just hits by like three of those things. Just thunk, 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 and then explodes. And the ship just explodes like no one's business.
Like, these things are, like, insane.
Yep. The next ship they shoot them into, they shoot, like, 50 into it for no apparent reason.
Like, that is overkill.
They kill the shit out of Kitch's brother doing that, though.
That movie is legitimately entertaining. It's a bad sci-fi flick, but it's entertaining.
It's fun. It knows. And it is either... I don't know if this is intentional or not, and if this was intentional, this movie is secretly brilliant, but the aliens never attack first. They don't. In every single fight, whether it be on land or at sea or in the air, no matter where we're fighting the aliens, every time they're just chilling. They're doing nothing. And then we attack them and then they murder the fuck out of us.
There's like, I've watched that film 5 times in theaters somehow.
What?
Yeah. No, because me and my friend saw it for...
That was Jake's Fury Road.
Yeah, we... Me and my friends saw it.
Jesus, that explains a lot.
Me and my friends watched it 5 times because we had movies where they're like $2 on Tuesdays.
Okay.
And every time, like every week, it's like, oh, I wanted to go see that for some reason. So we would go again to watch, let that one person watch it. And by like the third time, I realized that movie is actually a satire of those like big blockbuster CGI extravaganzas. Just watch it. Like half of it makes no sense, and maybe it was like strange Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge difference between bad films that are perfectly aware they're bad films and bad films that were trying to be great.
It's like a small directorial change. Like they just need a little bit more light, and all of a sudden it's like straight up just like mocking the shit out of those terrible, terrible. I can't even think of the guy's name, but like Transformers.
Here's a callback question: is there a functional difference between a satire and a parody?
I think
because that might explain our differing stance on Galaxy Quest. Like
Galaxy Quest, I would say it's more of a satire.
Galaxy Quest, but what's the difference satire then?
Like, is a satire like you play it straight, but you're having fun with it, and a parody is mocking it directly?
Yeah,
or...
yeah, that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Satire is okay. It's a play it straight.
So
it's
we agree like that airplane... Ice Pirates and Galaxy Quest and whatnot are satires, but not parodies.
Like Scary Movie Airplane. That is a satire.
Right.
No. I'd say that's a parody because that's...
No, like, it's not a parody because what's it a parody of?
Specifically like Airplane 78 or
Wikipedia
Airport
says 78? Galaxy Quest is a parody.
Right, but not
a
satire.
Wikipedia is wrong. It's probably just edited by you.
Also, Wikipedia thinks that opera didn't know the difference between operas and musicals, so...
Yeah, I tried to find out what that was, but I ended up having to ask Nate about that at work.
A parody of science fiction films and series, particularly Star Trek and its fandom.
Yeah, we think you edited that.
Yeah, you could have just done that.
Let me log into my router, like, remote access.
If Ice Pirates had a guy in a bathrobe with a laser sword, you know, like compare Ice Pirates to Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Correct.
One of those is a satire and one of those is a parody. And I would say the parody is the one that is directly imitating something to mock it.
Which is Spaceballs.
Right. Whereas a satire is a joking but individual, you know, like Ice Pirates.
I mean, also, Galaxy Quest was not mean that it was a very loving treatment of Star Trek.
More of an homage, actually.
But homage as much as anything else. But I mean, it was very clearly Star Trek. It wasn't just science fiction; it was Star Trek. I mean, it was you had the young kid at the controls. You had a bridge set up that could have been a Star Trek ship, and you had the entire structure was built around the typical Star Trek episode. I mean, it was written by people that knew Star Trek and loved Star Trek, and it was based off of Star Trek. So, I mean, I think at that point you could fairly call it a parody because it is pretty directly aimed at the one series.
Ah, fuck it. I'm going to publish lists.
Okay. Lists are published.
Quick thing about Valerian. I'm so mad about this. The scene where Valerian ran through the world was cool looking. Legion has landed posted about that. It's a long post, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the only thing that would have made that scene better is if the camera just stood still and let him run right the fuck away from you and just never saw him again. Because that man is a black hole of charisma. The fucking elephant graveyard has more charisma than him. Dane DeHaan is a national disaster. I hate him. He needs to be a better actor or go away. Don't care which one. Fuck.
Well, you won't have to watch him that long because he's already in his 30s. So, you know,
he's in his 30s?
Yeah.
Jesus.
What else
done? That was the thing that I was arguing about. Is that when I first saw the trailers for it, he looked way too young.
Yeah.
You guys gave me so much shit about me thinking that he looked way too young. He looks like he's 16.
Yeah.
He looks like he's the age of Spider-Man.
The only thing I know him from is he was in an episode or two of In Treatment, the HBO psychology drama.
Side note, it pisses me off that, like, so Raylene likes horror movies and she likes Stephen King, so we're going to have to see It, which is fine. I like the book It. I am infuriated by the look of Pennywise in the new movie. Yeah, it is an absurdly terrible design decision for the film.
It's just a demon clown. That's all it is.
He's scary looking.
Yeah.
He should not be scary looking. You're missing the entire point of the story, and specifically the point of the Pennywise character, when you make him scary looking. The reason that it chooses the Pennywise form is to put children at ease, to make children trust it, to make children come to it. And when you look fucking terrifying, that doesn't happen. If you look at the... Yes, when he's fighting them and gives himself razor blade teeth and whatnot, Tim Curry looks scary. Mm-hmm. But if you look at his default appearance in the miniseries It, he looks like a perfectly jovial Bozo the Clown. And I understand clowns are scary, blah, blah, blah. But in general, like, apart from being scared of clowns, which some people are, he doesn't look scary. He looks mm-hmm. like a nice, friendly clown.
It's like it sounds like it's part of the meta of our real world creeping into their remake. Because we grew up not liking Pennywise, in a sense. And they're the people who wrote the film.
I think it's simpler than that. I think it's a terrible writer/director/makeup artist/everything. Everybody involved in this movie is too fucking stupid to understand their own story. And they're like, this is a Stephen King movie. It should be scary. Make the clown scary.
Sure.
That seems like a studio note. To me.
So there's another thing that's bothering me. Sorry, we're on Stephen King, so I'm going to go off on The Mist here for a second.
That show is fucking terrible.
It's horrible.
The show or the movie?
The show.
The movie. I don't remember anything besides this amazing ending.
The amazing ending for the Mist. But the show is really stupid. So you have a bunch of people that are caught up in places that, there's a mist outside. Crazy shit happens in the mist. So... You have somebody who got impaled by something.
Yeah.
Who's still living. It was just like one of the last episodes I saw. Impaled by a rebar after he got attacked by some people.
Yeah.
And so he was in the hospital. He's taking the pain medication. And then he's trying to beg his brother to kill him.
Yeah.
And like, they don't know what this is. They, in terms, this has been happening for, I believe... A day, maybe?
I think each episode's a day. The time on that show makes no sense. I've watched
even almost then.
Every episode, but like...
Even then, it's only been happening... This whole incident has been happening for a day. And...
Yeah.
There's people already going into the hopelessness thing, like, I'm going to walk out into the mist and just die.
If it's only been a day, what's happening in the mall on that show makes no sense, because they've gone from, like, zero to Murderville, like, so fast.
Correct. Like, they're basically running their own government there. It's yeah. Lord of the Flies at the mall.
Also, the mall manager doesn't know his way around the mall. What?
Correct.
Yeah. To be fair, I've worked retail. I've had managers. I can believe that the mall manager does not know his way around the mall.
But it's...
Can you not believe that?
I guess I just had like a run of good managers.
Have you?
Yeah, Nate, you were great.
I'm thinking After Me.
Oh.
I'm thinking the person who broke the Quimby. The unbreakable happy man.
She did not...
Isn't the Quimby free now?
The Quimby is free now.
Yeah.
I start my new job tomorrow.
Yeah. Which one of those two do you think a child will actually want to hang out with?
I've never seen the Tim Curry It one, but I'd go with the left one.
Yeah, you think, like, the whole fucking point of Pennywise is to lure kids by not looking threatening.
Yeah, I know.
I never, like, lived before It or the books or anything like that. Was there ever a time where clowns weren't terrifying?
Not everybody's. I don't think clowns are terrifying.
I don't think clowns are fun.
I think it's.
I grew up watching Bozo the Clown. I love clowns.
Yeah. Okay.
Ronald McDonald isn't scary. Like, he's a happy guy dancing around and kids love him. Like, his hamburgers will kill the shit out of you, and they're more addictive than crack cocaine, and that's an actual proven fact, not an exaggeration. But he's not scary. He's a friendly looking guy. Yeah, he smiles and dances.
Everybody being afraid of clowns is a new thing.
Okay, because like for me, there has always been like something unsettling and creepy about clowns. Everything from like growing up watching Rugrats and Chucky Finster being afraid of clowns. Clowns have always just kind of freaked me out.
I almost honestly think it's an influence from It.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
From back then.
I think it is. Freedom isn't new. Clown fear isn't new. Like, these things, none of these things are new. It's just in the world of the internet, we all amplified. Have found out about the far number of people.
I had a coworker when I worked at Walmart. This is before the internet. Well, this is during the internet, but I mean, this is like late 90s that I used to torment when I worked at Walmart. Like, there was a
you
time.
You sound like a terrible friend.
You're agreeing with me, by the way. You shook your head and said no, but you're agreeing with me. So finish your story.
I'm not saying it's like a new thing. I'm saying it's.
No, I mean, there have always been some people that are afraid of clowns. The trope that a lot of people are afraid of clowns is relatively new and amplified by the internet.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Your coworker, go ahead and talk about tormenting your guy. But my point is, I believe that because people in the 30s were scared of clowns. Mm-hmm. People in the 1700s were afraid of clowns. Sure. It's just that now with the internet, we all know how many people are scared of clowns, so it seems more public. That's what I'm saying. People in ancient Rome would put on animal skins and fuck each other. Furries aren't new.
Sure.
But the internet has said, hey, be open about it, you fucking weirdos. Yeah.
So
Was there just a run in the mid...
I want to hear about him tormenting your friend. We keep interrupting him.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, tell us about tormenting your friend.
So we worked overnights, and she was off stocking some shelves, and Brian and I, we ended up putting one clown on one end of the aisle, and then put a clown on the other end of the aisle.
And so just trapped her in the aisle.
She had nowhere to go other than to go past clowns. And she's just one of the people that's just petrified of clowns. Will not go near them. Just won't make eye contact. Yeah.
So mean.
So we left Dev in the aisle for like 5 hours.
Could you just like throw shit at one of them to knock it over? Climb over a shelf?
Quite possibly.
Bum rush it.
Probably took the cart and ran him over. But I think it was like old pinata clowns that we used.
Lists!
All right, so we made lists live. If you go to the front page of conflictchamber.com, there is a link to the Wisconsin Team Championship page, which currently has the new statistics interface, which I think looks pretty cool.
Event submission statistics is in the drop-down menu there, which is nice.
And we have all of the lists published, and we are about to start talking about them, because there's some interesting stuff here.
Yeah, like the sheer number of rep players blew my mind.
I'm going to go poop.
Well, there's some, you can go poop if you want. Like, we're not going to go into all the lists. There's you know, 54 lists.
Yes.
But actually, there's more than 54 lists. There's 108 lists, huh? Because there's 54 players. So there's 108 lists. We're not going to go into 108 lists. But interesting stuff. Zero troll players. And 10 ret players.
10 ret. 5 scorn. Kind of happy to see a lot of scorn there.
3 Grimkin.
20% of your list is a ret.
10%. Oh, no, these are players, right? Sorry?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, you're right, about 20%. Yeah. 10 out of 54. So, yeah.
I was, the lack of troll players, I was surprised by a little bit, but not, like, hugely surprised, because the CID's going to be coming out, but I really thought there was going to be at least one or two.
Eat it, Andy. I can't.
Just give me the thing.
So, I got a sweet tart thing here, okay? I know we're talking about lists here, but this... The chewy, soft sweet tarts look like somebody took a spree, sucked on it a little bit, and just threw it back in the bag.
Yeah, but they're delicious. They're chewy and
sour
and sweet.
Does that not look like just like a sweet tart that's, or a spree?
I've never had a spree before, but I imagine they do.
A spree is a chewy sweet tart. Oh. So chewy sweet tarts are just spree.
Mm.
Okay.
It's more hard candy. Spree.
No, I thought sweet tarts were hard and spree were soft.
Yeah.
That's why they have to specify chewy sweet tarts, because
sweet tarts are like
there's two different types.
They're like Smarties.
So spree has, there's two different confusing the British listeners, because in their mind Smarties are like M&Ms.
Correct.
Or more like what are those ones that come in the tube, the circular ones? Chiclets.
Chiclets?
Sixlets. Chiclets is the candy, the gum. Yeah, Sixlets.
I never heard of Sixlets until they came into where we work, and Marshall told me about them.
It's like a standard for Halloween. You just get a little...
A tube
like
of Sixlets?
Yeah, a ton of them.
In America, you get a tube of Smarties, but Smarties are Sixlets in England because they have weird talk.
Correct.
Okay. Way to shine a torch on that one for
me. But sprees are hard candy, though. There is chewy sprees, but sprees, normally, they come in the same rolls as, like, bottle caps.
Yeah.
But there's sprees. There's two different types of sprees. There's also another type of sprees that are called Sun Sensations, which is the tropical sprees, and those are goddamn amazing, and they don't make them anymore that I know of. I wish I had them.
As long as we're talking about things that are tasty, you know, I said I was disappointed a couple of weeks ago that Coke Zero was going away. The new Coke Zero isn't bad, but I also determined that when they did the firmware update to update Coke Freestyle machines, and also the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine is one of the greatest inventions of the 21st century.
Yes.
If you're not already aware of this.
I looked into finding out how much it would cost to rent one of them.
I have as well.
They're
pricey.
They're really expensive. Yeah. It's like $300 a month just to have the machine.
I've still thought about it.
I have as well.
But so it, when they
I wouldn't need it if they would just sell cherry vanilla diet pib extra.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
If I could just get cans of that shit, I would be happy.
No, the new one, in the new update that brought in the new Coke Zero, they also have a bunch of new flavors, and one of them is Mellow Yellow Zero Citrus Twist, which is the nectar of the fucking gods. And if you do not agree, if you've never had it, we are going someplace with a freestyle machine after the podcast, and I'm going to make you drink it.
I can't.
Will you pay?
Sure.
Yes! I have never had that. I don't know.
I legitimately have never had it and don't know, but if you're paying, I'll...
Which fruits are twisted in it? Because I always, even before the freestyle machines came out, I would oftentimes mix lemon lime soda and orange crush from the dispensers when I went and got stuff where there was fountains.
I generally only get peach Fanta Zero.
Peach.
They also have Mellow Yellow Zero Limeade, which is also really good, but the citrus twist is godly.
I'll give it a shot.
In chat, somebody posted color with the U to point out the way the British people talk, which is wrong.
Armor.
That's just cheating. You know, any of those extra U's, that's frivolous U. But I spell gray with an E. I always have. And that's the British way of spelling. You know, because E for England, A for America is the way to remember which continent spells which version of... Because I can never remember, because I always did E. Mm-hmm. And I do
E as well.
Yeah, but it's E for England, A for America is the way that the spelling is. Also, something that never occurred to me, they call cookies biscuits, you know, and that's fine, but whatever. And then
what do they call biscuits?
Scones. Yeah, it depends. But they can be scones, they can be, you know, depending what they are. But scones is most common. Dense... buttery, you know, dry. Yeah, just scone.
Yeah, every time I've seen a thing of scones with treacle, it's a biscuit.
You don't give your dog doggy cookies. You give them doggy biscuits. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, the cookies we give dogs we call biscuits like the British, but the cookies we give to ourselves we call cookies.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's weird that vernacular didn't switch over. Also, we don't call them cold on a cobs like they do. We call them popsicles.
They call them cold on a cob?
No, they don't call them cold on a cob. And guns are also not point Rudy Tootie point and shooties. List reveals, yes. Somebody in chat is having list reveals.
The lists are up. We're going to talk about them. If you go to conflictchamber.com, there's a link on the front page, and all the stuff is up. And look at the new statistics, because I think it looks pretty cool.
It does.
I'm horribly biased, but it does look cool.
Oh, who made it, Dave?
That would be me.
Oh, wow.
A couple interesting points that Dave pointed out. There was Calissa? There was like none at Denver, and now there's eight of them amongst the 10 players or some shit?
The statistics. Yeah, one of the other, I was looking at this for the Rocky Mountain Rumble, which is you have event equals 10 for the for Wisconsin, and event equals 12 for Wisconsin, and it's event equals 10 for the Rocky Mountain Rumble, because the statistics interface now works on all of the stuff we've got. And I was just looking at it in comparison, because I thought it was interesting, because the distribution of factions is not all that far off, other than they apparently really love Kador in Colorado. But I thought one of the things that was really interesting was that they had 9 Retribution players in the Rocky Mountain Rumble and 1 Calissa, and we have 10 Retribution players and 5 Calissas. So, I mean, the take-home from that is Steamroller 17 terrain placement is for reals, folks.
Yeah. And there are 2 factions with 100% unique appearances by casters.
Yes.
Obviously, one with a smaller number of players, but the one with a smaller number of players also has a smaller number of casters.
Yes.
Because between the 4 convergence lists, 4 of the 5 casters are represented.
Yes. And minions, nice. Technically,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
I didn't even look at minions. Minions has uniqueness?
There's only one
minions
player.
Has uniqueness.
It's just, oh, so that's
Rick.
Yeah,
it's just Rick.
Minions
just Rick.
Doesn't count, but... Yeah.
What was the...
Protectorate has 4... We have 4 Protectorate casters, we have 8 Protectorate lists, and 8 unique casters.
And I need to look at the convergence list, because I do see... Is, Travis is in chat. Is Travis one of the Convergence players? Is he using my Iron Mother plus a Conflux list? Because I see a Conflux
Travis
was taken.
He's playing Grimkin.
Well, a Conflux was taken, so I'm curious. There's no easy way to look through the list to find who the players are.
Hey, Dave, what was the Haley distribution at the Rocky Mountain Rumble? Full boat of Haley 2s at... For Signar?
I bet it's Dan Skibo.
Let's see. 5 Signar players at Rocky Mountain Rumble and 1 Haley 2. Yes, 1 Haley 2.
Dan from Chicago is running a conflicts with Iron Mother. I feel great about that, because at Adepticon, he and I almost got in a fist fight because I kept claiming that it was good with her, and he thought I was a fucking idiot. And I'm like, you know, you think you're so smart? Try it, buddy. He's like, it's got to be terrible. And then every month or so after that, he'd message me progress he was having testing it, and now he's bringing it.
Yeah.
Good job, Dan. Yes. I'm happy to see that happen.
Well, that, I think, is one of the interesting things of the Rocky Mountain Rumble, is they had 5 Signar players, and the only Signar caster that was duplicated was Striker 1.
There was only 1 Haley 2?
There's only 1 Haley 2. There's 1 Haley 3. There was one Sloan.
We have 10 Signar players and 8 Healy, or 8 and 6 rather.
Yes, yeah. we have eight Signar players and 6 Healy 2s.
Yeah. The two who are not are Jackie Christensen is bringing, I think, Nemo 1, and I forgot the other
probably
one.
Probably Striker 2.
Striker 2 dual Colossals, I think.
Cray.
What team is Jackie on?
She's Striker 2 Cray. She's pointy-eared, green-blooded Gobber Brigade.
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah, she's bringing... Yeah, she.
I was curious if it was a lady team, because if it was the lady team, I would have been surprised that Danielle Nowick wasn't bring minions, because she is big into minions, but I guess she's just not making it to the event.
Yeah, no, she's going going to Gen Con the week before, and she's just going to be tuckered out.
She wasn't the one running dual Colossals. There are a dual Colossal list or two in there as well.
No, but Jackie's rocking Cray, which is awesome.
Let's see. What were some of the other interesting lists that I had seen?
Well, this year, as you pointed out, there's only 5 casters that are taken more than twice.
Yes, there are exactly 5. Those are Healy 2, of course, Kalissa.
I'm looking Coven. At Ossian and Assyria. Both were taken 3 times.
Yeah, Ossian, Assyria, and then Coven was taken 4 times. And those are the only casters taken more than twice. So, I mean, we've got a really good distribution. And, I mean, honestly, if you look at the little chart with how the factions are taken care of outside of Rhett and Signar being kind of big, there's a reasonable distribution if you ignore the fact that we're completely missing trolls.
Yeah, I'm sure... I'm sure if like all the Grimkin casters were legal too, we'd probably have a really good spread of that. Well, and probably less Heretic and Child if they weren't so new. Those ones, all those casters are pretty difficult to play.
Yeah, I'm sure we would see a lot more Old Witch.
Yeah, I was gonna say Old Witch, but she's not legal yet.
No,
she's Street Date Gen Con or
Street Date. I think it's like 1 or 2 weeks after. It's like the first.
Yeah,
week.
It's not. Yeah, the Street Date I've got for her is after the Wisconsin Team Championship.
That explains it
because it's not like, legal for validation.
Since I'm having someone pick me up, Old Witch. At Gen Con, I was actually going to play Grimkin at the event just to like say screw it and have a lot of fun with it. But since I couldn't, I just went with Signar.
Fair.
Yeah.
Because learning the Arcana is so tricky and when to use them that I didn't want to be completely incompetent.
Yeah.
So I was hoping to just get a caster with the normal feat.
Also, somewhat surprisingly, Jake is the only one playing Kane 3.
I'm surprised you're playing Kane 3 because he has like a 40-60 win percentage. You're going with something that way? Are you hoping to get thrown into some bad matchups? You're just going to ditch the Kane 3 right into some
Jake
fucking bad
Jake is going
matchups.
To be catching grenades all tournament long.
That was one of the bigger mistakes I've made playing this game.
Or he's going to get the easy matchups.
Yeah.
Well, he's playing Kane 3. Every matchup's an easy matchup.
No, it's not.
No! Overpowered caster is overpowered!
I was wrong about my initial impression of Kane 3.
Well, your description was probably as if he was playing
for the
as
record,
a mercenary caster.
Yes, for the record, what's your opinion of Siege 2?
I think he's quite bad. So
all right,
hold on to your hats, folks. In 2 to 3 weeks when he's busted.
Invest in Siege 2.
You said Siege 3, I think, didn't you?
I might have said Siege 2. I meant Siege 2.
I mean, to be fair, he does nothing to protect his army. Apart from, you know, Razor Wall and the ability to move his trenchers backwards out of a cloud so that your enemy can't attack you in any way, shape, or form.
And,
but apart from those, he does nothing to protect his army.
Oh, you're forgetting that he can move everyone back and dig them in?
Yeah, the cover and everything. Yeah. Also, the fact that he can protect himself by just dropping a medium base, like, arm 20
arm
thing,
8, 18,
arm 18 thing directly in front of him every turn.
Every single turn, yeah.
Just like, boom, body block.
Yep,
but
no
is
protection
he,
at all.
Is he actually... I thought he turned into a medium base.
He is a medium base.
Yeah.
He also looks like he's slipping on a patch
still
of black
still makes
ice.
It hard for... Yeah.
He does have the high ground.
Well, yeah, it's not so much for protection from shooting. It's for protection from something just charging you in the face and eating it.
Like, oh, I'm hugging this wall here. You know, there's a wall, and I'm here, so I have cover, and I'll go pew, and then I'll put a medium base there.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, guess what? No charging me. No line of sight. Boop, boop, boop. Frowny.
Why did you just draw a dick on my...
Dick. Spewing
no,
out.
You already had one here. You could just put it all over there.
No, see, what you go to Target, and they're going to have this Xbox 360 and this PlayStation and then all these games up here. That's my favorite example of why you don't tell people they're going to be fired in a month and then let them keep working on national television for that month.
Yeah.
Look up, it's so good.
Was it Matt Myra on Black Friday deals for Attack of the Show?
Yeah.
Look that up on YouTube. It's one of the greatest things ever.
Because the guy, what's the name of the actor that plays Captain Jack Harkness on Doctor Who and Torchwood? David, you're a giant nerd.
Is that John Barrowman?
Yeah, Barrowman, yeah.
So I only know that because my guest wife host. Watches those shows. So.
He was the guest host, and all he I swear he was going to piss himself and die. He could not stop laughing while this guy just drew cocks all over the television for an hour. It was great. Not an hour, for like 15 minutes.
You've seen Superbad, right?
Yeah. It's that. Because the guy has a telestrator, and he's just going over all the great Black Friday deals, and all he's doing is circling the best deals. And some of those circles are oval, and then have two smaller circles with lots of lines coming off of them, as he highlights which deals are the best. And he just keeps fucking doing it, and that's why you don't tell people that they're fired and let them work on national television for a month.
All right, so back to lists. I also think it's really interesting that in the Protectorate of Minoth, that also in the statistics it breaks down the casters and the themes, that there's only one Amon, but five lists played in Creator's Might. And is it? It's just maybe it's just me, but to me, Creator's Might is just Amon the theme.
I mean, Durst can run it.
Durst can run it. Why Durant, not play Amon? Durant can run it, but if you're running Durant, why not just run Amon?
Yeah, there is no
I'm opinionated. Durant. There's one Durant.
No, not Durant. Fred Durst.
Yeah, there's no Durst.
No Durst.
Let's see. We have an Una 2. We have both Balders, one of each, though. Wormwood's the only circle caster repeated. Kador is also interested. Butcher 1 is the only repeated Kador caster. Only one Vlad 1.
There's only one Vlad 1?
Only one Vlad 1, yes.
Yeah.
What are you people doing?
I mean, I was expecting to see multiple Vlad 1 Harkivich.
No Vlad 2s. Remember when Vlad 2 was like an unbeatable monster machine that won every tournament ever?
Nope.
That was Mark 1.
Oh.
He was not fair.
No. Coven, there in Crix, there are four Covens.
5 years ago.
Huh? It was 5 years ago. Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's really sad.
A national treasure.
In Crix, there are four Covens. The only other caster in Crix that is duplicated is Terminus.
What?
So how many Crix casters? Terminus. So how many Crix casters were, or how many Crix lists?
There are six Crix lists. There are four Covens, two Terminuses, and one of everybody else. So that means there are more. There are as many Terminuses as Asphyxius 2
so
and Denegra 1 combined.
There's two times as many Terminuses as Denny 1s.
Yes.
Someone brought Denny 2.
Yeah, that was Dan.
Somebody brought Denny 2.
No.
Dan.
Dan didn't?
Dan. I'm almost positive.
Did he have a stroke and think that her feet was the same as in Mark 2?
No, he has like a whole insane plan.
Is the insane plan to bring a terrible caster and lose?
Yes, he has Denny 2 and Gatsby 2.
Denny 2. I don't know. I don't
And Gatsby. So he honestly does think it's Mark 2. Like, if this was Mark 2, that would be an unbeatable pairing.
Yeah, well, Gatsby 2 in Dark Host is really good now. I'm surprised there's only one of them.
But he got septuple nerfed.
Because everybody who plays Crix has Gatsby 2, and now he's good again, so why didn't we see more of him?
Is he good again?
Yeah.
Why? He's better again.
Because he plays really well with Dark Host.
I mean, so...
So does Denny 1.
He is unplayable garbage. What about Dark Host makes him go from being literally the worst caster in the game to not?
He was not worse than Connie B.
Yes?
Well, we actually had this conversation.
Yes, he was.
Being right. Damn it.
Like, he's terrible.
I did spend an entire day at work trying to think of something he did.
The inability to charge his own models made him unplayable because he can't get the extra distance for the feet.
Yeah.
He can't move up feet and then teleport away as safe. Like, the... There's so much terrible about him. But I guess if they see it, he got four buffs in December, according to somebody in chat. I don't remember what buffs he got.
Can you list those four buffs?
That'd be great. Because, yeah, like, unless great. I haven't seen how he changed from when Mark III started.
They took his cloud. His cloud was an upkeep. It's no longer an upkeep. In Dark Host,
so he's back being able to spam the clouds?
He can spam the clouds. Dark Host lets him place 2 4-inch clouds. 20 inches up the board.
Being able to spam the clouds again is a big help. Yeah. Actually, that's huge.
I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, he has a lot of issues. I'm not sure he's particularly playable outside of Dark Host. But once you with the spammable clouds and that you get extra clouds in theme and in theme, all of your banes have prowl.
That's kind of fine.
What is going on? We're trying to figure out what happened with Gatsby 2.
That's fine. All right, Gatsby 2. Yes, Gatsby 2, Denny 2. We've got to
be careful,
like
here, or we might turn this into a War Machine podcast.
And we might give people... Boom. We don't want to ruin Dan's strat by telling all of his tactics to people.
If you're teching for our team, guys, you've already lost.
Let's see. Mercs, double Faxist. Sure, makes sense. Kane 3 in Mercs.
Yeah, yes. Josh is playing that.
Oh my goodness!
I think he's doing double galleons.
I assume he is. Like that's the only way to play Kane 3 and Mercs is double galleons.
Let's see. Yes, Kane 3 galleon.
Andy has a treat for our viewers. That's fine. They can.
There's no sound going through it, but it's just the video.
They can watch it while listening to us. That's fine. That works.
Oh, Legion also, has landed in real time, figured out what was going on.
So I figured out the reason why we have so few Kalissas, is that the team Kill All Humans is playing nothing but Retribution.
Okay.
Oh, that's hilarious. So there should be more Kalissas than that. They just weren't allowed to.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, there are more Kalissas. So that's why somebody's playing Raven, is because five other Retribution casters were taken before somebody picked Raven. That explains it.
Well, it doesn't explain why someone's playing Thyron, though.
Somebody's playing Thyron?
Yeah. Wow, one person's playing Thyron. Guys, you had a better choice. I don't know what it was.
So
Thyron's okay, isn't he?
No.
Well, I do not think Thyron is terrible in and of himself. The problem is that Retribution has this massive list of great casters, and Thyron is not on it.
Yeah, and then like the fact that his big thing is Spell Piercer, when half the faction has Blessed and the other half has magical weapons. So
the only problem with you having the dick drawing but in silence is moments like this where he draws a circle and then pauses, and that pause is because he's waiting for John Barrowman to stop giggling. And then he draws another circle and there's another pause, and then the giant cock falls off the sky. The delivery is magical.
Yeah, the delivery is great. So.
But at least they get to watch penises drawn underneath us while we talk.
Yes.
That one's a little lopsided.
while we're talking about impressive Retribution lists.
Also, I love Raven. Raven's sweet. Raven, she's a... No, I'm thinking of... No, Raven's good. Snipefico. I'm a big Kalissa fan.
I am a huge Kalissa fan.
And she's... Yeah, I've always have been since the beginning.
So,
yeah.
I just want to bring attention to, in the team Dank Legacy's three-man wolf pack, Ethan Krause deserves some credit for being devoted to a theme, because he has, in his Retribution pairing, Kalissa with three Hydra, which is fine.
Hail Hydra.
And then Vyros 1 with six Hydra.
Shh. If you call them Hydra, then they're going to think that they're Hydra.
Yeah, that's how it works. Hey, remember that time when Marvel wanted comic book shop employees to dress up as Nazis as part of a fucking ad campaign? Morons.
Yeah, that was a weird day for me.
You worked at a comic book shop?
Yeah. For a little while.
Like last year?
No.
Because I'm talking about like last year.
No, when Secret... Oh, yeah. No, when Secret War came out, there was something else... They wanted us to put like a Hydra symbol somewhere in the store.
Maybe.
Legion has landed.
No nail. That I am disappointed in 10 people. I thought that Wisconsin was better than that. I thought we were smarter than the internet. I thought that people here understood that nail is fucking broke-tacular.
And
we
got a bunch of people from Iowa.
And he's a game.
Within a game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. My primary issue with Nail right now is that he's not in Defenders of Ios. And as far as I can tell, Defenders of Ios is the best way to play Retribution.
That's another big thing. This has... I want to go through...
The themes are worth looking at, yeah.
Only there are six non-theme lists in Retribution.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
six of them.
Yeah, Retribution gets that because Dawnguard Sentinels, which are one of the best infantry in the game, do not exist in any theme. So I'm pretty sure that, let's see, Dawnguard...
There are two Kador lists that have no theme.
There's four Signar lists that have no theme, and that's the same numbers that are in Storm Division. So stop complaining about Storm Lances on the internet.
Yeah, because they're fair and balanced.
They are fair and balanced.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
They're fair and balanced for the next 2 weeks.
Three circles.
Is that going to drop before or after the championship?
With my luck, right on the day.
I wish I could just unplug you.
What did I do?
One protectorate list out of theme.
Also, Legion has Landing asked if we had thought about pushing the list to phone so players can get table opponents info automatically. This is something we've talked about because there are the APIs to do it, to set it up so that we can get the pairing software to text people. But this is kind of the thing that I've talked with Rick Way, who is one of our locals here, who also does PG Swiss, the software that runs a lot of tournaments. But we haven't really had a lot of time to work on that. We'd like to get it working, but I don't think it's going to work. It's going to be in before the Wisconsin Team Championship.
Someone brought Sword Knights. What?
Sword Knights are great.
Sword Knights are okay in heavy metal.
Sword Knights, pew pew. That's my Sword Knight impression.
What are they pew pewing with?
Their swords.
They pew with their swords?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't say pew pew when you hit people with a sword?
No.
You should. It's a lot of fun. You just like bring it down like here on the collarbone and it cleaves halfway through them. Like that random surprise, why the fuck did you even do that death to Anya at the end of Buffy? And you go pew pew and then yank your sword out and run away.
I'm going to have a lot more fun.
Spoilers from like a decade ago? Yeah.
I haven't watched Buffy.
Okay.
I'm going to have a lot more fun with Dark Souls now.
Dark Souls? I need to play more Bloodborne. Yeah, I've just been busy playing other stuff, and now I own all of the Mega Man games, which was a mistake.
Oh. Everyone should play more Bloodborne.
Let me know when you play Bloodborne, because I'd like to play through it again with a friend.
We talked about this earlier. Play one time.
Okay.
Cool. At least Dave and Jake and I talked about this earlier. I'm not sure how much I like Bioshock.
Oh, yeah, I've already been aware
it's
of that.
It's slower paced than Doom. That's his hot take.
Really? No, it's also...
I was confused about how...
I was really confused about...
How Little Sisters worked.
The same would appear to be the same Big Daddy kept on respawning with the same little sister, following the same path over and over and over. And so I thought it was weird that I was able to save three little sisters. And I thought, I saw the Big Daddy again. I'm like, what the fuck? And it turns out the third time it wasn't actually a Big Daddy with a little sister. It's.
Also, for the Signar players playing out of theme, two of them are playing Haley 3, it looks like. So it's really only two out of theme, because Haley 3 doesn't
play. What are the other two playing?
What?
We got to talk about something else other than the lists.
Why?
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 The fans love it.
Yeah.
Look at the fans.
Our board is exploding.
Yes, exploding.
Someone post something, damn it.
Legion, no. Explode more, please.
No, I mean, we're talking about is we're just glancing at a list of things. It's not
we've been discussing stuff. Been discussing. It's just stuff that bores you.
Yeah.
Like I think it's interesting that six people in a faction aren't playing in or six lists in a faction aren't in theme out of 20 lists. Like that's almost a third of the list. And the commentation right now is that commentation isn't a word, but it is now, is that themes are mandatory. So it's interesting to see 30% of lists in a faction be played out of theme.
Yeah, it's about 30% overall as well.
Well, I mean, not only that, but like really given like what people are saying about Signar, the fact that there's only four Storm Division lists out of a total of, what, 16?
16 lists, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty big, too. And there's two even that are taken out of theme entirely. You know, I guess you can't really count Haley 3 because she wants Trenchers so much, but...
Yeah. Not even a Storm Division. The more important thing to point out is five units of Storm Lances in the 16 lists.
Five max? Are there any men?
I think there's at least one men because I have a men in mind.
Okay. Yeah, there's Jake's men. And
five Lance, one men. So six Storm Lance units in 16 lists.
On average, one per player.
Yeah.
So.
No, not even. There's eight players and six units of Storm Lances.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Five max and a min.
Yes, less than one, yeah. We've got Haley 3 and we've got half of the lists are in heavy metal.
Yeah.
Are you banning people on our chat, Andy?
There's
For 10 minutes? Why'd you ban that guy?
I didn't mean to do it for 10 minutes.
I hope he can still see. Can he see?
I don't know. We'll have to call talk to Dan.
Was that Dan?
Yeah.
Oh, Dan Wasmer?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck him then. I thought it was just a random guy.
What did he say to get banned?
He said, shut up, Meg. I'm not going to be referred to as Meg.
Maybe
I'm not the Meg of this podcast.
Maybe he meant Meg Ryan. She's a national treasure.
I don't think he meant Meg Ryan.
Oh. But you banned Dan. ConflictChamber.com is the website. WebSim 7, you should know it because you're already using it to build lists when you don't have your phone handy to use
Worm. I'm going to be messaging Dan.
Actually, even when I have my phone, like if I'm just dicking around with lists, it's actually easier to do it in Conflict Chamber, not just to suck David's dick here. But like War Room, obviously, I need to use for games. You wish. But yeah, I mean, it's a good website.
Dan did just text me about you banning him.
Can you at least respond and tell him that it was he meant it as a joke?
Yeah, I will.
I mean, so we don't have an actual civil war here.
I hope he's actually still listening.
Oh, my Lord. Lord Almighty.
Oh, I could put it in there. I could.
If he can read it. Oh, the link. Yeah. Andy's putting the link into the chat.
But yeah, I've gotten a few bug reports from people using it on the phone, which I never really thought of for a while, because it's like if I have my phone, I usually use War Room myself and just complain about War Room.
It still works better. Like, and honestly, the ability to build a list during the CID cycle so that I could practice with Cole Grima or whatever and actually still make a list that made sense, like that was really nice too. Especially as, like, with big point reductions, like the Sea King going down to 36 points from 42, all of a sudden making a list with trying to, like, get everything working right was kind of weird in War Room.
I want to see some meme with Madonna and that gargantuan, so it's, like, desperately Sea King Susan. Hey, somebody asked me what I'd be doing in 3 years, and I said, I don't know. I don't have 20/20 vision.
And, you know, the other really kind of interesting thing on this, too, is that there's only one Nemo 3 player, and Nemo 3 was the hotness just 6 months ago for Signar players. So,
was he?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew like two locals were playing him, and a lot of people were talking about him. Was this another Jarl thing?
This is another Jarl thing. Okay. So like he hyped him up quite a bit, and I saw a lot of players playing them. There was
Nemo 3.
Yeah. I at the ATC there was like is like the he was the most popular Signar caster with Haley 2. Yeah.
You put a shitload of focus out there, right? And heavy jacks were the only thing people were playing.
Yeah.
At the time. Yeah. And so the ability to put out twice as much focus in addition to power up was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like also like he's got an armor cracking feat and he could still handle infantry pretty well, whatever limited amount of infantry there was. So he was able to just straight up melt jacks.
Andy's legitimately just watching Attack of the Show on mute now instead of participating in the conversation. He's just watching old episodes of Attack of the Show on mute.
Is there any, do you know from data, is there any faction that was themeless or that only played
Electro
themes?
Challenge?
Let's see. I can pull it up. Legion, there were 3 Legion players and 5 in Oracles of Annihilation, 1 in Children of the Dragon. Scorn, I think, was the only one that was majority out of theme because currently Winds of Death is the only thing that's going to be legal for it.
But I mean, as much as people are saying this is theme machine, clearly it's like if a third of players are still choosing not to be in theme.
Protectorate was one list out of theme out of 8. Convergence was entirely in theme.
Of course.
I can see.
Grimkin is entirely in theme.
Yeah. I mean, like that entire faction is built on those themes, though.
It's built for it. Yeah. I think the first tournament that we're going to see, the first event that we're really going to see is War Machine Weekend that's going to be. Yeah. Really almost full themes because it's supposed to be out at the end of September.
Yeah, Crix is also fully in theme. We're running at about 1/3 of the lists altogether are out of theme. Yeah. And I think by the time the September themes drop, that's going to be down to 1/8 or lower.
I mean, I think I'm fine with it being theme heavy. I know some people are upset about it, but with the changes they're making to make theme diversity more palatable, like letting you take a mercenary in certain ones.
Yeah.
Because my Kane 3 list.
It's not official yet.
I can dream. My Kane 3 list really needs Iris 1 to click.
Yeah, the rumor is that's not going to be a universal rule for all themes. Just some themes are going to get that. But I mean, honestly, I don't have a problem with themes.
I still feel like minions and mercenaries should get access to that rule for themselves.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Well, they should. I don't know how long we want to talk about this. The podcast is going over an hour at this point, and we've got some good chit-chat in there. But at the very least, we would encourage people to continue this conversation on our Facebook page when we post this video. So if you listen to this video from our Facebook, you can talk there. And also in the thread on Muse on Minis,
I could actually post it over from Crippled System.
CrippledSystem.com as well. Yeah. Anywhere you want to talk about it, we will listen and talk back at you. Because I'm curious to hear, because we're just kind of going through it live here. Yeah. And David and I had a little access, a little advanced time to look at this. But I'd be interested to see, as other people dig deeper over the course of the next few days, what interesting things they see.
Yeah. And I also put in another plug for the Crippled System event management system, that if you are running an event, especially if you have pre-registration, please get a hold of me either on Facebook or from the link on Conflict Chamber, and I'll set up an event page for you.
Yeah, directly important. Good stuff.
Andy is just giggling to
just watching Attack of the Show. So number one, it just scared me. Kevin Pereira has done nothing since Attack of the Show.
No, he's had his own. He's done his own podcast.
Oh,
his own
show. Okay, well that doesn't count. They're gonna play Jenga while being electrocuted.
Yes.
Good times. Who is that? That's not Olivia Munn.
Candace something.
Okay, Candace Bailey.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh wow. Did you tweet out Zappity Grumbles?
Huh? No, I didn't.
See, so we have no Zappity
Grumbles.
This
is weird because I don't watch television, so the only thing I know about Olivia Munn is that she's the person that sports radio in Wisconsin is really pissed off at.
Yeah. That's something weird that I walked into when I moved here as well.
Well, that's always the thing, though, too, is you never mess with the, you know, the stud, I guess, of your team. You want to make sure that everything's going great for them, you know. That same thing happened down in Texas with Tony Romo and his girlfriend.
Yeah, that actually happened with the Detroit Tigers with Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. But no one could really blame Justin Verlander for that one.
Nobody can blame Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Clearly people did. I saw some weird amount of hatred towards her when I moved here.
Just because she's dating him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing, because there are no good radio stations in Madison, which is like the only bad thing I can say about the city.
105.5 isn't that bad.
Well, we don't need to talk about local radio stations.
But so I end up listening to the ESPN radio because there's nothing else to do. And
there's also
I have
pretty
an
good
old car.
Can you close the Nightwolf band screen so we can read people's comments?
But so that was one of the other things when I moved up here, is that the local people on sports radio just hate Olivia Munn. And it was just weird.
I don't get why. I honestly don't get why. Is it because they are sexistly drawing a correlation between how good sex with her is and how he performs in the game? The answer, by the way, is yes. That's exactly why they're doing it. And that's just fucking weird.
There's like, it's called like Samson Delilah syndrome, and it exists throughout history of all of a sudden people blaming a woman for a great man no longer being as good at his job. And it's idiotic and always
if
wrong.
If only she'd blown him more or less, depending on which kind of person I am, he would be better. Or alternately, maybe he just had a bad day, and it's not her fault.
Yeah. I mean, or his entire offensive line was hurt that year, and his shoulder was made out of crepe paper that year, and Jordy Nelson got hurt that year.
If she wasn't particularly strong in her performance in the film Magic Mike, do we blame him for not giving her a good dickin'? Like, is that how it works?
Hopefully. But it's not.
Somehow that only seems to go one way.
I wonder why.
What, that she didn't give him a good dickin'? Don't kink shame if that's what he's into.
I can't stop this.
Yeah, stop watching Attack of the Show and participate in the podcast.
I'm trying to get out of it.
It's Zappy Grumby time because Legion has later asked how we draw people to play long games. Currently, his friends will only play games that are less than 2 hours.
To be perfectly honest, I mean, that's how I feel the game should be. I mean, unless you're going to be playing, I don't know how to draw people into long games. That's how you draw people into long games.
I was going to say, is there a solution other than to get better friends?
Oh, snap. I mean, unfortunately, that's one of the things I'm grabbing onto is just some people enjoy those longer games.
Yeah.
I don't know,
Legion. You want to play Great Civilizations?
Mega Civilizations.
I mean, we're kind of stuck with Pegasus.
I think it was one of them.
At Pegasus, we only really have maybe 4 good hours to play games, so if we can try to finish...
No, he's talking about board games.
Yeah.
Is he actually talking about board
games? Yeah, he's talking about board games.
Oh, I thought he was talking about
War
Machine.
He means, like, how do you get people to want to play TI or Civ or StarCraft?
I thought he was talking about playing War Machine, where I just stare at my models for a half hour every single turn.
What I end up doing is, especially with... Actually, we started this with Axis and Allies, is we would make it we'd do it over 2 sessions. Like, we got the Axis and Allies 1940, and that game is huge and takes forever to play, and we played it over the course of a month. And over time, we'd start a new game the next month, and then, you know, instead of doing it in 4 sessions, we did it in 2. We did it in 3. And we just, you know, like eventually people got more and more used to it. So that's what I did to get people to play
long games. So Jake's solution is build up their endurance.
The two things I would say, one ties in with what David said, is you said your friends will only play games for less than 2 hours. That's fine. Go to the local game store. Like, put up a thing that says looking for group. Like, you can play games with people that aren't your current friends. Like, I'm Bored has a great board game night. Mm-hmm. Pegasus has theirs on Saturday as well. It tends to be more smaller, casual stuff. But check out your game store. See if they have a board game night. You might find people there. When I was looking for people to play Dune, I actually made a Facebook page that was public that said, people in Madison who play Dune, post here. And I put up a game. And Dan and I played with four random people, and we got to play Dune. So look for different people. And number two, I would say, is that theme matters a lot. Like, if your friends don't give a shit about World War II, they're not going to want to play a 6-hour game of Axis and Allies. But if your friends are all huge Game of Thrones fans, they might play a 4-hour game of the Game of Thrones board game, just because they like Game of Thrones. So I would try either of those two things.
And then, like, what Nate did to get me to play Dune was he just browbeat me into submission. So
yeah, but that's you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard, but like sometimes maybe just force them to, like, armbar them.
Okay, so Dan's back. Maybe he can justify Denny too now.
But yeah, no, that'd be me. I'd try to find themes that your group likes, because it doesn't feel like a slog as much to some people if they enjoy what it is.
How long did it take us to play Dune?
Oh, not long. It was maybe like, you know, it was less than 4 hours.
Yeah, but that went by really fast, and it wasn't even, like, I didn't know anything about Dune besides them shouting Harkonnen because of Mystery Science Theater.
I will kill him!
But, I mean, like, a lot of times, it's, if you have, like, people who really know the game, having people who are new to it, new to a long game, having them play with people who are really experienced with the game still go smoothly helps out a lot, too.
Also, it needs to be a social gathering and not, you know, just like, this is a job. We're doing a 6-hour shift of playing through the ages, and you will do this. And yeah. Which is why I think the theme's a big part, because it makes it feel like, hey, yay, this is great.
The one thing I would have a problem with running, like, Axis and Allies over multiple days is
they just won't come back for the second half.
Because you, like, you know, like, I'm playing, you know, Japan or something like that, where the U.S. is just pushing in my shit, and I'm going to be dead in, like, a turn. So the Tuesday, I'm not going to show up. And then that ruins the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, when we did that for Axis and Allies specifically, it was just like, we're going to call this early because it's clear what's going to happen, so we're not going to spend all that time.
Sure. I do have a couple Zappity Grumbles.
Sure. There's another one in chat. Dan asked a hot take on Twilight Imperium 4th Edition. Every version of TI has been better than the previous version, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
I might. That's actually probably what I'm going to try to do, is I'm going to see if I can snag either a look at or a demo at Gen Con. Because this is the first Gen Con I've gone to in probably 10 years that I haven't gone there to do work. Like when I first started going, I worked for Impact Miniatures. I worked as I painted at their booth and stuff there. I did Blood Bowl, ran tournaments for there, and then I just ran almost everything for PP from like 2009 on.
So this is going to be one of my questions that leads you guys to yell at me about being young and then throw things at me, but what is Twilight Imperium?
It's a board game. Okay. It's just a long board game. It's did you ever play Eclipse?
It's an infamously long board game.
Yeah, although I still consider it a mid-length game, but, you know.
I've never played Eclipse.
It's a Dune length. You know, it's like a six-hour space combat game.
Okay.
But the thing is that it's not it looks like a war game because you build all kinds of ships and troops and they're all going to fight and there's combat rules. And if you ever fight, you lost because it is a cold war game. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to build up borders and glare at each other and do politics.
Okay.
And then last turn attack and hopefully win.
Yeah, there are like a couple of factions that don't just instantly lose if they get into an actual fight.
Okay. Right. The problem is if you play with someone who just YOLOs and randomly attacks because they think they're having fun, you're not having fun. You're ruining the game for yourself and the person next to you, and it's going to be 6 hours of both of you losing. And then you're going to complain about how long the game is and how you never had a chance and it was your own fucking fault.
YOLO.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued with it. That's one of the games I'm looking forward to at Gen Con.
It's not going to be there, I don't think. Well, they might have demos.
That's going to be available quarter four. Probably have a demo for it.
They have a pretty complete list of the changes on their website between third and fourth edition.
It's been years since I played third.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm excited. Like I said, I have a friend who is a massive, massive fan of the Twilight Imperium games. Always has been. I mean, you know, we would get together and play it every couple weeks or whatever. And he still owns his copy of TI2, and he lists it as one of his favorite games that he will never play again, because there's no reason to play two because three's out. I wonder if he'll do the same thing with his copy of three now and just museum it.
Yeah, yep. All right, that's happy.
And I think this will be quick. Have any of us ever played Fireteam Zero?
I haven't.
So we can give no info to Legion has landed about what we think of Fireteam Zero.
I don't know what it is or what's it about.
I assume it's a game.
Oh, I think it's a fireman thing.
Oh wow! No, that's Flashpoint, right?
Yeah, that's one. I mean,
Fireteam Zero could also be about a team of fire people,
like people made out of fire, Johnny Torch.
Yes.
Or that guy
Johnny
from
Torch. The sad thing is, I knew exactly what he was talking about too. Yeah, Johnny Torch.
Johnny Torch.
Fireteam Zero.
No, that's meant for Jake to say. Come on, get to the script.
Yeah, but Jake thought it was true.
No,
Jake
rolled
with
it.
Yeah.
It's Johnny Storm.
No, it's Johnny Torch, the Human Storm.
What was that? Was that you said though too before?
Oh man, that'd be like a great parody.
Where you said there was like it was like so and so and such.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Fireteam Zero is a fast and furious cooperative board game of brutal squad tactics versus a relentless onslaught of horrifying foes.
Nope, never played it.
So it's a real time, so it's like one of those like
oh man, like rolling a billion dice all at once and like making the engines work.
No. That was like some of the games I got. I got this other game where it's one of those games where you're laying down cards and the first person to pick up the cards or for a match or something like that wins the cards. I hate those games. I don't like real time games like that.
Apparently, a lot of miniatures and cards in it.
The last time you said to me, "I don't like real time games," we played a real time game and you had a lot of fun with it.
I don't remember.
So we're testing the light cycle game. You like were refusing to test the real time version.
Yeah, yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
I hate real time games. Let's just test the turn based one. I'm like, yeah, but we're play testing. We should try the live one. You're like, this is a lot of fun.
That one I like.
That's my Andy voice.
Nate, what was that? It was a real time game. Is you mean Jackie and Keith were playing it at his house? What was that one?
Damage Report.
That game was a lot of fun.
Oh, it's on the phones, isn't it?
Or no, that's Space Team.
Okay.
Damage Report is you move around on a ship like repairing stuff and trying to get like the hyperdrive to work and things like that.
Sure.
But your pawn, you move your pawn or whatever, and then when you take an action, you flip a egg timer, and you can't take another action until the egg timer runs out. And as you get like wounded or as the oxygen supply goes down, you can get more or less time that the egg timer has to be. And so there's forced downtime. So some people hate the game because they don't like forced downtime in a game, but it's some strategy and it gives you time to think. Like, you're not doing nothing. You should be planning during that time.
Sure.
Prevents quarterbacking.
Yeah.
The other thing I really liked about that downtime is that it does create a lot of tension in it, you know, which makes that this like stressful situation kind of fun, because otherwise it's, you know, just flip as fast as you can.
All right. So what is an underused IP that you think would be good to use for a reskinning of a game? I would say Undercity. Not Undercity. Underhive. Necromunda. You could take Shadow War that they have that just released and then just put Necromunda over it.
Big spoil. Well, Shadow War, what IP?
Shadow War is actually Games Workshop's version of Necromunda that they were making, and then they just announced that they were putting Necromunda out.
So what's going to happen to Shadow War?
So you want Game...
That's going to be around still.
Games Workshop to take one of their IPs and put it over a different IP of theirs?
No, I was trying to draw some like weird conclusion.
Yeah, they announced Necromunda, so then now they're going to have Necromunda-ish and Necromunda as separate products?
Yeah, Shadow War is basically just like a little miniature version of 40K. So you're just taking a squad of whatever 40K things.
Yeah, but it's heavily based off the old Necromunda rules.
Correct. And then they're actually going to release Necromunda now.
Okay, that's weird.
I actually think
more of a demand for it really the main thing. And it has progression.
Yeah.
Pretty cool IP to just... I don't know if this is necessarily reskinning, but if they did a RPG version of Metroid... Sorry. If they did an RPG version of Metroid, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, the universe is pretty fleshed out and built. You could be a team of bounty hunters.
It only has one character that can save the universe, though.
I mean, you don't have to be saving the universe in an RPG. You can just be like going to a planet to like kick some ass.
One person RPG would not be fun.
It doesn't need to be one person. Like
unless you get a boyfriend and then that boyfriend tells you what to do.
Oh, Jesus, dude.
What? He wants a Metroid. He wants a Metroid RPG.
Yeah, like just in that universe.
Oh yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely.
One person.
So all of your characters start out as like level 50, like impossible to kill,
correct,
super monsters.
Yep.
But so half the people, that'd actually be super cool. Never mind. I'm going with this. So half the players get to be super powerful, amazing, unkillable god monsters. Like you're level 70, just a dragon can't hurt you. And the other half of the players play the men that they have crushes on, and they get to tell them which powers they're allowed to use at any given point in time.
Correct.
What Metroid game are you guys talking about?
Other M.
I've never played that one.
Did you ever play Fusion?
I played like the
with the SAX and everything like that. Anyway,
I don't think so.
So Metroid talks about how she had this old boss named Adam,
yeah,
who would tell her like whatever. It was like this when she was younger. He was her boss, and she learned a lot from him, and he was a good mentor. She was his Obi-Wan to her Anakin. And so Metroid Other M, Metroid Other M is a flashback. Well, yeah, it's before Metroid got evil and he got put in that robot body and got the gun arm.
Yeah.
So Metroid Other M is a flashback to that time with Adam, and it turns out that like all he does is just tell her what to do, and it's terrible, and like it's the most misogynistic thing ever.
Oh, that's
because you know how in most Metroid games, Metroid loses all the gear at the beginning,
yeah,
and so he has to find all the stuff.
Yes.
So in Other M, they didn't bother to have him lose all of his gear. He starts fully functional. Vario suit, homing missiles, super beams, everything. Ice beam. Got everything. Whole 9 yards. But Adam's just like, hey, don't use super missiles. And Metroid's like, oh, I'm so hot for you, Adam. I'll listen to what you say because I'm not a strong, independent woman whatsoever. And so it includes Metroid will literally burn to death in lava because Adam tells him not to use the Vario suit powers. That's their justification for not having your powers yet, is that a man tells you what to do, and you, being a strong, independent woman, obey him implicitly, even if it kills you.
Jesus, that's fucked up.
It's super fucked up. People were mad.
I imagine. No, because like I loved Metroid Prime and Metroid Prime 2, and then I went back and played like Super Metroid, and that universe always just seemed really cool, so it'd be cool to have like an RPG or something you could explore it more.
I like that WebSum7's autocorrect said, Dan is her name, not Netflix. So instead of Samus and Metroid, it's Dan and Netflix. Netflix 2 starring Dan. Battling all the Netflixes on Zebus.
On Zebra, you mean?
Yeah, on Zebra. On Planet Zebra, Dan has to battle the Netflixes.
Oh, dude.
Oh. But yeah, seriously, Other M is the most offensive thing ever.
Oh my god. Because
I am not exaggerating.
Is it really that bad?
That is literally the in. That
brought you Cooking Mama. I mean, yeah. Realize. Oh,
but at least why did Nintendo give them the IP for that?
Well,
we're working on that knowledge now? Okay.
Well, I mean. Yeah, who knows?
The guy who wrote it apparently in his old age became a terrible misogynist, and he decided that women don't get to have agency. And he regretted having Samus turn out to be a woman at the end and challenging all of your perceptions. And why did you assume that this powerful bounty hunter was a man? What does that say about you, person? And instead, it's just, women do what men tell them to because that's what good women should do, is the message of Metroid Other M, the worst thing that's ever happened to video games.
I can think.
Okay.
There's some words.
E.T. for the Atari is better than Other M.
What about Custer's Revenge?
Sure, fine.
Okay. The what?
Custer's Revenge.
I mean, he eventually gets murdered for what he's doing. Because there's no winning that game. You just do it as long as you can until you get shot through the fucking head with an arrow, which is what you deserve, you rapist. But yeah, the fact that game is just... But that's like the 70s. They're like, it's a new technology. Let's just
early
throw 80s. Porn onto it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess early 80s. But it's new technology. They throw porn, and porn's always going to be fucked up depending on what you're looking at. But yeah, still.
Man, that brought me down.
It's okay.
Well, no, they've done really well with the Metroid IP overall. There's only really three games that are really, really bad for their Other M. There's
and Pinball?
Pinball is amazing.
Yeah, I know. Other M and what else?
Prime Hunters or something like that.
That was a 3DS game, wasn't it?
Federation Force or something like that. Yeah. It's just
Even know those ones.
Not very good at all.
There was one that came out that was like a 3DS game or something that you could play with your friends and everyone was a different bounty hunter. And
those Hunters.
That game sucked.
Yeah.
But at least it wasn't just... Like, sucking is different than being horrifically offensive.
Yeah. Other M is pretty offensive. I mean, all the Primes are good. I mean, they just announced at E3 that there's going to be a Prime 4. That's coming out, and there's also going to there's a new reskinned version of Metroid 2 that came out for the...
Because that game gets overlooked. Yeah. Metroid 2 is actually a really good game.
Yes. And now now we know why that...
But it's a classic Game Boy game, so nobody cares.
Yeah, now we know why Nintendo shut down the fan-made version of it, is because they were in the process of working on their own version of
which is great.
I have that fan-made version.
I didn't download it on time.
I got it.
Oh, man. That's good to hear because really good. I love 2D Metroidvania games, the side-scrolling games, and everybody fucking loves them. Everybody on the planet loves Symphony of the Night. Yes. Everybody likes Super Metroid. These games are just universally applauded, and yet we don't get too many side-scrolling Metroidvania-style games anymore. Yeah, we don't get any 2D side-scrollers at all.
This is one of the things that was really platformers, disappointed nothing. In the movement to the 3D consoles was that we really lost a lot of the really good 2D games.
They have one, but I mean it's sitting out there. Shadow Complex is very... Very similar to that Metroidvania style.
You get indie stuff like the Salt and... not Salt and Iron, Salt and...
Sundered?
No, fucking A. I'll remember it later. But like the one I mentioned before, Dead Cells and things like that. But
Salt and Sanctuary.
Salt and Sanctuary, yeah. No. But you get all these small indie games, but you don't get big name titles putting out beautiful side scroller things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're too busy making another first person shooter.
Sundered just came out though, and that's a hand drawn side scrolling one.
Yeah.
That
one was Kickstarter though, right?
Axiom Verge. That's a
but again a little indie thing.
That's an indie one too. Zeo Drifter is also an indie one too.
Strider was cool.
The remake of Strider was very good. Yeah. Both Bionic Commando Rearms are good. Yeah. I mean that's
well I mean both, if you like jumping
both
in your games.
Hey, it made it significantly more difficult to try to do swinging in Bionic Commando 2.
Yeah, you turn that jump button off and you play that game like a man.
You could still do it without doing it. You could disable the jump button.
The fact that they let you disable the jump button
is
makes me happy.
Yeah, but you have to beat it.
I can just rip the button out of my controller and play without it.
All right. So, yeah, I don't know. I think Sam & Max would make a great board game. We need to have another Sam & Max board game of some sort.
Oh, we're still on that question. I mean, obviously, there is an old classic board game, but they did the reverse. They took they re-themed the board game instead of taking this theme and putting on a different board game. But the Dune IP is amazing. There's so much cool shit in Dune.
Yeah.
The RTSs were great. Like, playing basically StarCraft, but every once in a while, a sandworm would show up and murder your whole fucking army. I mean, that's amazing!
I mean, the Dune RTS was what really was... It was the first one.
Yeah. So good. But yeah, I love the Dune. I don't think there's enough Dune stuff out there. There's one insane movie...
That was amazing.
That's terrible. There's one miniseries that, God bless it, tries its best... And then there's an old out-of-print board game that got re-themed into the most generic thing possible. And there Space should be Cats. More. Huh?
Space Cats.
Space Cats?
Yeah, Space Cats. All right, you're talking about Twilight Imperium?
Yeah, the Ministry of Hakan and whatnot. Yeah. The Dune board game was re-themed with all the races from Twilight Imperium, actually.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Rex, Imperium Rex, which is good. But it's not as good as Dune because they fucked up something.
You never heard of Dune until listening to Crippled System.
Mm-hmm. Was that today?
I wouldn't. Okay, I have to ask here. Do you mean Dune?
Game or the entire everything movie, book, and all?
Yes, the game or the classic work, one of the classic works of the 20th really century flustered. Fiction.
Yeah. Or even hear the movie. Like, the movie's insane. Yeah. Either way, my personal recommendation to Legion Has Landed is to read the first Dune novel. And if you're feeling like flipping a coin and seeing insanity that you either love or despise, go ahead and watch David Lynch's Dune.
Yeah, but read the book and yes today, because if you spend 20 minutes reading it, you will probably get done sometime at 4 o'clock in the morning and wonder what the hell happened.
Much like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, it's a surprisingly quick read. So that's one of the other reasons I'm okay with recommending it to people is like when you're recommending like a huge like if I'm like I'm a big fan of War and Peace, you should read War and Peace. Like you're committing somebody to a month of reading a million pages. But
yeah, the first time I read
Hitchhiker's
Dune.
Guide and the first Dune, they are quick reads.
Yeah, the first Dune, I read it in one day because I sat down in a chair that afternoon and finished sometime after midnight, and I just like literally did not move. It was that good.
I've read the first five pages. They're quite good, and then I've been a schmuck. I need to finish it. It's really good.
We haven't said this in a while, but Quimby, you're young.
I know.
Zappity.
I had Metroid RPG.
Oh, that's right.
They didn't have one.
God damn it, Other M. Fucking Other M. Fuck you, Jake, for bringing up Metroid Other M.
I didn't.
Zappity.
Okay, I'm sorry. Zappity. Grumble!
Thank you.
Jesus.
All right, any advice for those who want to start running events in their community? Any tips or tricks that are useful? Any pitfalls to avoid?
Convince someone else to do it.
No.
Use Conflict Chamber for a list submission.
Yeah. One major pitfall I would avoid is trying to make the event or trying to make the game what you envision the game being. In other words, if you're going to run a steamroller as it is, because that's what players are generally going to expect at your event, they're not going to want to come and play a steamroller that suddenly you decide that, you know, inch high hills provide obstacles.
They're not going to want random dumb shit like you spin a wheel and fuck with what caster they bring. Like, nobody likes those kinds of events. So avoid doing things like that and just run standard steamrollers is what Andy's saying.
But that's not out of Who's the Boss. The thing is, I'm not advertising a steamroller event as a Who's the Boss event, and then just suddenly surprise butt sex caster.
People don't show up to some town in northern Illinois and surprise their running old league scenarios instead of the steamroller scenarios, for example. And I totally made that one up, I swear.
Yeah.
I did not make that up. It was terrible.
Yeah. Old steamroller, not steamroller, it was old
league. The
old
league scenarios. Yeah. At least they weren't doing any of the ones from the nautical themed league.
Correct.
That had
ships.
Oh my God.
The lighthouse board.
The lighthouse board and the ship board were both literally unwinnable if you were player two, and they let the person who was lower in the league rankings choose whether to be player one or two, so it was just blatant rubber banding for the league.
Yeesh.
But yeah, to follow on what Andy said, I mean, just especially if you're starting, do it very vanilla. I mean, we have the packet for the steamroller rules that's gone through a number of revisions and a lot of testing. Use that. Ask other people for help. I'm biased, but I'd say hit me up for Conflict Chamber. I will handle list submission for you. Go look up PG Swiss is the software that actually does the pairings, the pairings and such.
Depending on your meta, another easy thing to encourage people to come in is mess with the point value. Because if you've got a lot of new players, they might be more likely to come to like a 50 or something versus 75.
Yeah, it's one thing. Yeah, gauge and know your audience in a sense.
Yeah.
Know if you have a bunch of new players to make it short points or something like that.
And, yeah, I mean, we're slowly developing a pretty robust suite of tools for running events between Conflict Chamber and PG Swiss, which has been around longer and has served more tournaments than my stuff.
When their powers combine, they are Steamroller Planet. You're too young to know Captain Planet either. Did you at least see the thing with Don Cheadle as Captain Planet, just like murdering everyone?
I didn't get it.
Oh, what is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm a '90s kid.
Other than try to set
Planet
a schedule.
Was '90s.
I mean, I was like literally an infant. I don't remember any of that.
And you're not a '90s kid.
Fair.
I don't know. I'm fucking Jake.
I would also say that. Keeping a nice tight schedule, you know, like there's Chicago that has like an event every the first or second Saturday of every month, and you know, like keep it consistent. That is
zappity
crumble.
You don't say zappity when I say zappity. That's not how. The fuck is this?
It's a piece of paper.
Yeah, but why is it crenellated?
Is that what that's called?
Well, I don't know if crenellated is a word, but the thing on top of castles are crenellations. Yes. So I assume crenellated is how you describe something with crenellations.
Crenellated is a legitimate word in the English language.
If it wasn't a legitimate word, it was definitely a cromulent word, and I would stand behind that.
Well, guys, you just learned a whole bunch of words.
Well, cromulent, ironically enough, I don't think is legitimate, but it is cromulent, so it describes itself.
Although, I think cromulent's in the dictionary.
Oh, man,
now.
That ruins the magic of cromulent. Cromulent needs to not be in the dictionary so that it itself is cromulent. Cromulent is a word that isn't a real word, but is obvious enough what it means to serve its purpose.
I figured as much. I used context tools. figured it all out on my own.
And that's the power of cromulent words, is that they don't need to be real words because people can use context tools to figure out what they mean.
Zappity.
They are ersatz words.
We're down to recommendations.
Ersatz.
We need to be done here so we can watch some Game of Thrones.
I recommend Legion has landed.
Okay, Wiktionary defines cromulent. Merriam-Webster doesn't. So maybe it is
actually... Yes!
Maybe it is actually properly cromulent.
Still. Fucking magical.
Recommendations. I will recommend Mellow Yellow Zero Citrus Twist again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will throw in a side thing in the chat. It's not really Zappy Grumble, but WebSim7 asked, who entered Dresden's sub-basement between the ending of White Knight and the beginning of Turncoat? I don't remember any such thing happening, so I can't help. I know at the ending of White Knight, he goes down and digs up the last Shael coin, so maybe it's him, unless I don't remember anything after the book ends, so I can't help you. Anyway, my apologies. I just didn't want him to be left out in the...
Well, I actually, in that time, I will amend my recommendation. Read Dune while drinking Mellow Yellow Zero Citrus Twist.
I'd recommend a really great anime that Marshall Wentworth showed me called The Devil is a Part-Timer. It is about basically the bad guy of a JRPG gets kicked out of his own universe and ends up in Tokyo, powerless and poor, and ends up getting a job at McDonald's.
So it's the anime version of Last Action Hero.
Wouldn't know. But
no, the villain doesn't get poor at all in Last Action Hero.
Yeah, no, but he becomes basically just a powerless normal guy, and so he gets a job working at a McDonald's, and it's kind of his day-to-day life, and he still thinks he's a demon lord. It's pretty funny. Check it out.
I'm going to recommend it's a web comic, although the first chunk of it got picked up and made into a physical comic, but I wouldn't bother buying the graphic novel because it's inexplicably small and difficult to read, and it stops right when shit starts to actually make more sense, so it's at a poor time to not have a second chapter. But the web comic is free, so you can read the whole thing, and then you can support on Patreon if you want to give money instead of giving money to the publisher. But Kill 6 Billion Demons, which is like if Dante's Inferno met Metalocalypse, is how one of the reviews described it, because it has shit like that guy in it, who is a fallen angel riding a motorcycle made out of skeletons.
That's pretty kick-ass.
It is a college co-ed. Her boyfriend is abducted, and she is basically made into like the Chosen One, and so she has to go battle demons on 777,777 different dimensions. And it's got all kinds of religious imagery in it, but not just biblical. It has all kinds of stuff, but it's cool to see like... They have straight up angels, but instead of being like seraphim with the wings and stuff, they're like the lion head in the middle of a wheel and the pillar of fire with 50 eyes on it, like the actual descriptions of them from the Bible.
Yeah.
And huge fight scenes. It is a brutal story, but it's metal as fuck. It is like a 90s heavy metal album cover turned into a webcomic. And it's beautiful too.
Yeah, no, it looks great from what you've shown me.
Very cool.
Oh, those guys.
But I would go ahead and recommend. I don't know. I think you should go and try to find, go to some kind of store, go look on Amazon, go look for Ice Pirates. Download it, watch it. It is a glorious romp through 80s sci-fi and shenanigans.
And then taunt your young friends for not having seen it.
Yeah. I don't expect Jake to have ever seen Ice Pirates. I mean, I'll watch it.
I mean,
that's
an obscure one. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's one thing for him to have like, oh, I've never seen insert movie everybody's seen here.
Yeah.
The only one I think I've ever actually gotten like grief from everybody at Peg about was never having seen Night Court. People freaked out about that one.
Yeah.
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 Did we recommend Valerian? That movie's amazing. We should tell people to watch Valerian, by the way.
Hey, don't watch the podcast off before you even can even.
You know
respond.
What? Go watch Valerian because any amount of money you can give it still makes it a flop.
Poor Dark Tower. It's not that bad.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. It's on opening night.
I haven't seen it yet, but I don't believe that it deserves. I think it's similar. I think it's probably in the same vein as Last Action Hero. It probably doesn't deserve the critics' scorn.
I did like Last Action Hero.
Everybody likes Last Action Hero. Except it's one of those movies apparently. That people defend. If you look at when it came out, it was fucked. Like it came out in a tough year. But no, it's a good movie. I think it's one of those movies everybody defends, but we all actually like it.
From my understanding, I've never seen Last Action Hero. From what I understand, it came out critically panned, commercially flopped, and then has like gotten a second life as as like an amazing movie.
I know it commercially flopped. I wonder if it actually got critically panned.
Oh, it did.
Did it?
Yeah, it's low on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I mean,
Rotten Tomatoes is meaningless.
I'm just talking about that. At that time, it was critically panned as not being good.
I mean, Rotten Tomatoes is meaningless. They gave Face Off like a 92 or 94% or whatever it is.
That movie's terrible.
When it should be 100 greatest movie ever made.
It should be like a 2 because it's garbage.
That movie's amazing.
Face Off's fucking terrible. It's John Woo's worst film. And I am including Mission Impossible 2.
Mission Impossible 2 is way worse than Face Off.
Face Off ends with the heroes kidnapping a child, stripping him of his identity, and forcing him into their freakish cult.
The cold open is the murder of a child, so it stays insane throughout, guys.
So it's okay that they take another child and strip his identity away and force him to be that murdered child for the rest of his life. They're the heroes.
Yes, they are. Do they end up calling him Michael? I can't remember.
They don't in the film, but I guarantee 4 seconds after the credits rolled, that kid was already being called Michael. And he'd be like, but my name is... Shut up, your name's Michael! And then they hit him with a coat hanger.
So here's I got the movies that were released during the summer of that.
Yeah, this shit's gonna be rough.
Well, we can go back to April. So there's Cop and a Half there. So that was amazing. That's not too
Which bad. One's what's Cop and a Half?
it's bad. There was a while where every movie that came out was legally required to be about a cop and insert noun here.
Oh, like K-911.
Or what? Turner and Hooch, or
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah, so that's the mom. You got A Gnome Named Norm, which has Anthony Michael Hall with a gnome as a sidekick. You have, Theodore Rex with Whoopi Goldberg and a talking Tyrannosaurus Rex as her sidekick. Yeah.
So is it like a plaster lawn gnome?
No, it's like a shitty ripoff Jim Henson gnome.
See, this is what I don't understand is that people said that the drug of choice in the 80s was cocaine, and that really sounds a lot more like LSD.
The problem with A Gnome Named Norm is that Anthony Michael Hall already looks like a crappy knockoff Jim Henson gnome, so having him next to another one was really confusing.
This is just so weird. This summer here is just so weird. So we have May 28th, Cliffhanger came out.
Game of Thrones starts in 58 minutes, Dan. It did not start 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Get your time zones right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, Last Action Hero, Cliffhanger, came out.
Sure.
That was a big Stallone flick. At the same time as Cliffhanger, actually, Super Mario Brothers was released.
Wow.
connection to Face Off, they use the same boots.
Yeah. And then June 11th was Jurassic Park.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Some dinosaur thing, okay. Some genetic experiment.
So that was
wrong.
Another flop, I assume, right? Because flop. That doesn't seem like a very big one.
And then the week after that was Last Action Hero. The week after Jurassic Park hit the world, Last Action Hero came out. So not only was it following up Terminator 2, which is, you know, that's Arnold's last movie, it was also going against the juggernaut of Jurassic Park.
What about, wasn't True Lies after Terminator 2?
No.
Oh.
No, True Lies is much later than that.
Yeah.
Much later than that. And then later in the summer, then we have The Son-in-Law.
The Firm.
Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Oh, boy. Free Willy.
Yeah. Actually, Weekend at Bernie's 2 is amazing as well. That's a great film. Weekend at Bernie's is a great film. Have you seen Weekend at Bernie's, at least?
Are you familiar with the concept of Weekend at Bernie's?
I am familiar with the concept of Weekend at Bernie's.
What's the concept of Weekend at Bernie's?
It's a dead corpse.
No.
It's a dead corpse.
A dead corpse.
As opposed to a live corpse.
Yep.
I mean, George Romero made that kind of movies, not comedies.
Yeah, take
comedies.
That. George Romero's Weekend at Bernie's is a very different film.
Oh,
I'd watch that.
No, man, it depends. George Romero made like 3 good movies and then a bunch of shit.
He was drinking a bottle of vodka a day when he was making
Tom and Jerry the movie?
Land of the Dead. And, yeah. I don't remember. It's an animated one. The one where they go on an island and there's a Hatfield and McCoy thing. Oh, Diary of the Dead was so fucking bad too. His found footage one is one of the worst things I've ever watched in my life. But the one that was Hatfields and McCoys on an island and there were zombies also. And they have a whole plot thing where one of the guys is trying to teach the zombies to eat horses. Because if they eat horses, you know, then they won't eat people anymore. And so there is no flaw in his logic, Dave.
There
I'm sure.
is so much flaws in that logic.
So like the movie, then like the zombies are eating horse, and they're like, oh look, he was right, hooray, the zombies eat horses now. It's like, yeah, I eat chicken. It doesn't mean cows are safe around me. Like I'll eat all those fucking animals. Ooh. All you've done is teach zombies to eat more things. What?
I'm just going over this year, and this apparently was a good year because I remember 92? All these of being good.
93.
So I mean, then you had. Boxing Helena, which is actually a really good film.
Calendar Girls, I saw that in the theater.
True Romance.
Yeah.
True Romance is that year. Dazed and Confused was that year as well.
Jesus.
Warlock the Armageddon was that year.
The Good Son.
Yeah, The Good Son.
The remake of The Bad Seed.
Cool Runnings.
Oh, Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
I know that one.
The Nightmare Before Christmas was that year?
Yeah, no. It also suffered.
Because of Jurassic Park? Yeah.
Probably. That thing was probably still number one at the box office by then.
Carlito's Way. Ernest Rides Again.
Classic.
I don't recall Ernest Rides Again.
This is Doubtfire.
Yeah.
How about, you know, I'm going to defend Ernest.
Are you now?
Yes. Ernest? Yes, I am.
Which one?
Many of them. Ernest Saves Christmas. Ernest Scared. I fucking love Ernest Scared Stupid.
I love
Ernest Scared Stupid. I will quote that movie like a motherfucker. Ernest goes to camp. Ernest goes to jail.
Ernest goes to jail.
The first one is
when he gets electro powered.
I'm an electro man.
The first Ernest, I legitimately cried at when he was like standing in the rain talking about how it was rain, not tears. That made me sad as a kid.
Oh. Hey, you never, you know what you do? You don't do in front of a badger? Abadee, abadee, abadee.
Dude, Ernest Scared Stupid. The troll is like can be killed with milk. Okay, milk can kill the troll, but the L is like erased from the book because it's an old book. So it's M I spank K spank space K. Well, I did space and blank and it became spank. M I something K. And so Ernest, of course, assumes it's referring to Miak, an obscure Norwegian beverage or whatever. So he gets like a gallon of Miak and he's like, I got this, I'm gonna beat you. The troll's like, Miak? And Ernest goes, I bet you didn't think I could get it out of season, did ya? And that's fucking hilarious to me.
That's actually pretty funny.
Oh my god. But when Jim Varney died, there was a full page like editorial in the Capital Times here in Madison. Talking about Jim Varney and mentioning, you know, he's not just Ernest. This guy actually did a lot of stuff. He was great in Toy Story. He actually did some drama stuff. Jim Varney was a talented actor. And it's easy for us to see when you get a talented actor and they have one character and you identify them. You know, when you see Alec Guinness, you think Obi-Wan Kenobi. And the guy did hundreds of films in his Oscar-winning life. But you see Obi-Wan Kenobi when you look at Alec Guinness, right?
Yeah.
So this thing had a full page talking about how Jim Varney is more than Ernest, goddammit. You should respect it. And you could tell that the person writing this really fucking cared.
Yeah.
And then they just put a big picture of him as Ernest in the middle of the article. And it's just like, you assholes!
Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah.
That was on that same year. Tombstone was that same year, too. Tombstone and Grumpy Old Men share the same date.
Tombstone also bombed, I believe. Nobody saw that fucker when it came out.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, Tombstone
Wyatt Earp got so even so much better.
93 was a year of undeserved bombs. Tombstone, Nightmare Before Christmas, Last Action Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, 1993's America. Watch better movies.
We all know who the better...
Better what?
This is exciting! I'm quivering in anticipation. He's trying to remember the name of the main character from Tombstone, and he can't, because he's trying to troll by saying that Mr. Waterworld was the better of that guy.
No!
He can't remember the name of the guy.
No! No.
Oh, no, you're going with the other one, I'm your Huckleberry guy,
yeah.
Whose name I also won't tell you.
Yeah, no. No. Dennis Quaid is a much better Doc Holliday than Val Kilmer.
Also, no.
Hey, Dennis Quaid is still not fat, though.
Isn't Dennis Quaid crazy, or is that the other one?
That's Randy Quaid. It's Randy Quaid. Quaid, who relates to sex tape of him having sex with his wife while they were both wearing Randy Quaid masks. He is literally...
Oh, God!
He is literally insane. Something went wrong with Randy Quaid. He, like, lives in a motel and rants about chemtrails on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Zappity.
But he was great in Quick Change.
All right, we're going to call it...
This is upsetting.
Here. You've never seen Quick Change either, I'm
no.
sure.
No. I know Randy Quaid.
Nude women. Clowns welcome.
All right.
I know Randy Quaid from Independence Day, and that is it.
Quick change. Quick change is not Bruce Campbell. Bill Murray's best movie. Quick change.
Stand on that one.
Jesus, there's a lot of trolling going on here. All right, we're going to call this quits. Thanks, guys, for watching. Thank you all the patrons.
Yep. Bye. Valerian sucks.
Conflict Chamber's good. I'll let David, you know, maybe that's my compliment to him.
Thank you.
Conflict Chamber's the opposite of Valerian.
Well, that's still in the audio podcast. The video podcast already ended.
Valerian actually has a good list submission code built into it. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Explains why they couldn't get any
fucking
dialogue.
Which I guess would still be the opposite of Conflict Chamber. Bazinga! Because I said it was good, and now I'm insulting you. Quick change.